Hello and welcome to Leading Words, words that God Himself spoke and placed in the Holy Scriptures to ensure that we might receive everlasting life. Words that Jesus Himself parsed and explained and said, the words that comes out of my mouth, they are life and they are spirit. Words to guarantee eternal life. Today is very special. As I always say, this is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Today, I want to share with you scripture that is found in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 and 2. You might read verse 3 also. But these verses shows us that God, our Creator, is not only Creator God, but He's our Father. But on top of being our Father, He is also our Redeemer. And what I mean by being our Redeemer is that we were sold out as a slave to sin and to corruption and to condemnation and damnation. We were sold out to that. Well, the Lord now is saying, I am buying you back. I am purchasing you. I am pulling you back from that condemnation site or system or that condemnation environment. I'm going to suck you out of it. I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to pay for you and free you so you will never be afraid and never be a slave anymore, because from now on, because I bought you, you now belong to me, and I'm going to give you my name. I'm going to give you my name. And then He said, don't be afraid. You belong to me. In Isaiah chapter 43, look what He said. He said, I want to begin by verse 1. It says, but now thus said the Lord thy God, thy Creator. He said, I created you, O Jacob, and he that formed you, O Israel. He said, fear not, for I have redeemed you, and I have called you by thy name, because now you belong to me. He said, don't be afraid, you are mine. And because you are mine, I give you that name that you have. And the person that names is the person that possesses. Then He says, when you pass through the waters, notice when you pass through, He didn't say if, no kind of subjunctive mode here. If you pass, no. When you pass through the water, I will be through the water with you. And then He said, and when you pass through the river shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you. He said, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I love this scripture because it let us understand that we can have confidence and trust in God, and that we don't have to turn away from God, because God's words promise, and when God makes His promise through His word, Isaiah 55:11, He said, my word that comes out of my mouth shall never return void unto me. It shall go and accomplish what I said it to do, and it will do it. God give His word. And when God gives His word, He keeps His word. 2 Corinthians, you hear me say, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, He said, for all the promises of God in Christ Jesus, they are yea and amen. Yes. And amen, meaning that they have no expiration. So if God promised you something 100 years ago, this something will be fulfilled, because God's promises, they are yea and amen, and they have no expiration whatsoever. The story that I really want to draw to your attention is found in the book of Daniel. And in Daniel chapter 1, I can't read the whole story, but this story is a wide story, and it spans three chapters. It begins in Daniel chapter 1, and it doesn't finish until Daniel chapter 3. But the story is so full of life and vigor, it jumps out. And what it does to us, it assures us that because we belong to God, because we belong to God, God will go out of the way to do for us. And this story is going to prove it to us. Well, the scripture says that there were four young men, four of them. One was a bit older than all the others. But that one that was older than the others, his name was Daniel. And I am quite sure you have heard about Daniel in the Bible, and there's a book with his name in the book of Daniel, and this story is in his book. Well, the scripture says that there was a king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar, and this king was king of Babylon, today's Iraq. So the Babylonians, right, they were a very powerful empire, powerful. So powerful that the scripture says that they ruled the world, the whole world. And the king of Babylon was a man by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar, he invaded Israel. And when he invaded, he left Israel desolate. He just wiped out everybody, burned down the country. I mean, wipe it out to a pulp. Knock out everybody, left that country desolate. Now he took the people, or the strongest of the people, he took them to Babylon. And he's going to keep them there for 70 years because God allowed it. And the reason that God allowed this invasion and takeover and this deportation back over to Babylon is because these Israelites in those days, they were so rebellious to God and disobedient and idolatrous, they went and worshiped other idols. And God wanted to prove to them that you don't have no reason to turn your back on God, because I am your creator. I am your provider. I am your healer. I am your miracle worker. Anything that you need, I am it for you. And what is he trying to say is that I don't just make ways for you. If there's no way to be made, I am your way. I don't just provide food for you. If there's no food to be provided, I become food for you. So he said, I am everything you need. So you have no reason to turn from me and go and worship and serve other gods. But the Jews in those days, they just turned their back on God. So God now allowed the Babylonians to invade them, pull them out. Let me cut the story short and explain this. When these guys reached the Babylon, because Babylon invaded Israel, took all the young men, the bright men, all the young women, the strongest men, pulled everybody, took them over there. When he got over there, the scripture said to us that Nebuchadnezzar went out and chose the brightest young men of the Jews, the brightest ones, the promising ones, the ones that seems to have a good understanding and could reason good, bright young men. What is he doing? He's trying to build an army of bright minds, inventors, so he could have inventors and educate them in the science, educate them in astronomy. And they were strong astrologers, but they were practicing astronomy also. So he wanted to have all these bright young men and train them up to love him and work for him. So what he did, he went over to the Jewish section and pulled out these young men. In the group of young men, it just happened that there were four of them that were sold out for God. One of them was a young man by the name of Daniel. And then you had three more. One of them, his name is Ananias. The other one was Azariah. And the other one was Mishael. You see? Mishael. That's their Jewish name. Now, when Nebuchadnezzar pulled them out, mixed them with the crowds, the Bible says that one of the first things that Nebuchadnezzar began to do through his agency is change their names. But when they tried to change the names of these young men refused to change. You see, you must understand the concept of name changing and the concept of naming things. He who names govern, controlled. When God wanted to name the animals, God could have named the animals himself. But instead of naming the animals himself, God allowed Adam to name the animals. And the Bible said, Adam, name all the animals. And the reason Adam named the animals is because Adam was going to rule over the animals. So anytime a person name another person, because that person is going to rule over them. Notice this. When God created Adam and Eve, God named Adam, but he never named Eve. Matter of fact, Eve had no name. She also was called Adam or Mrs. Adam. The Bible said he called the both of them Adam because the only one was supposed to be ruling over both of them was God. Notice later on after they fell and sin and whatever happened, and God said, well, now because Eve has sinned, he's going to put Eve under the supervision of Adam. And then he said, and Adam, you will rule over her or have the control over her. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 5 that Adam turned around and called her Eve. He named her Eve. Why? Because now he assumed that he's going to rule over her. So just how he named the animals and rule over the animals, now he named her because he's going to rule over her. So what am I saying? That's the concept of ruling or controlling. You name people and then you rule over them. Notice when the discoverers of America came to this continent, the Spaniards from Spain, Christopher Columbus, one of the first things that they did when they found all the indigenous people living in America, the first thing that they did was change their names. Why? Because they're going to rule over these people, these indigenous people. Same thing happened with the black folks, right? When the black folks came to the Americas, came to the Caribbean, run off to the Caribbean or South America, they were here, and one of the first things that happened is that they changed their names. The masters will change the name of the subject because they're going to rule over them. These young men, Nebuchadnezzar, when he got them in their possession, in his possession, the first thing he tried to do was to change their name. So Daniel, he don't want him to name Daniel anymore. He want now Daniel to name what? Belshazzar. He said, Daniel, you are not going to be Daniel anymore. You're going to be Belshazzar. And he said the same thing to Hananiah. He said, Hananiah, your name is going to be Shadrach. And then he spoke to Mishael. He said, and Mishael, your name shall be Meshach. And he spoke to Azariah. And Azariah, he said, your name will be Abednego. So now he's calling the three of them plus Daniel. He called them Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. But that's not their original name. And Daniel, he called him Belshazzar. Change your names. I don't want to get into all the little dynamics of what each one of the names mean and all of that. But I can tell you, Daniel's name means Dan. Dan means a judge. El means God. God's judge. The man that will judge according to God, the man that will make decisions according to God, that's his name, the judge of God, God's judge. Dan means judge, and El means El for Elohim, El. God's judge. He does judge the way God judges things. He sees the way God sees things. He makes determination the way God. You see that? That's his name. But there's another thing about names. Your name also depicts your character. So when you name a child, you name the child because you want this character to be shaped around the name. So in other words, then, naming depicts destiny. You want your child to be well behaved and to be loving and to be celestial, you call him angel or angelica, because you're trying to set the course of their destiny. I would like my child to be an angelic being, so I call him angelica. Names depict characters, names set destiny. But notice these four young men, and we will continue calling them Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because everybody knows them by those names. But these three young men plus Daniel, four, the first attempt is to change their names. But these guys stood up to let people understand that you can try to change my name, but you will not change my destiny, and you will not change my character. God has shaped my character. God has shaped my destiny. And we will live out to our names. We will live out to whatever God has set up for us to live out. My name is Daniel. I remember the movie. You remember that movie that came out? This young man, he called himself Kunta Kinte. You remember that? And that you can find that story in the book of Roots, that was written many years ago by Alex Haley, one of these fantastic writers, wrote the book of Roots. Speak about this African story, this young man that came to America from Africa, and he brought the whole trajectory of how most black folks came to America. And he said there was this one black man refused to give up his name. They call him all kind of name and he refused. Whatever name the master will put him, he said, I don't name like that. My name is Kunta Kinte. And it became a famous movie, you know, and a famous book and bestseller and all of that stuff. But it shows you the guy refused to give up his name. And these four guys, they refused to give up their name. Everybody called him Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Belshazzar. And the guy them said, no, my name is Daniel. My name is Ananiah. My name is Azariah. My name is Misael. These guys determined to keep the name of God that was secluded inside of them. The name of God that shaped the character and their destiny. Don't give up your name. In a few days, yes, perhaps a week or two, most young men are going back, and young women are going back to school. School is about to open. In any moment, I believe for some counties right now, school will begin, but basically in the Maryland area, after Labor Day, school is about to open. But when you go back to school, and I'm speaking to you, younger person now, when you go back to school, you don't need to be influenced or to be sucked in or inspired by other people. Don't give up your name. Don't try to fit in. Because the biggest mistake that most people do is try to fit in. They want to be popular like the regular guys or like the regular girls. You don't need to fit in. You don't need to shorten the length of your skirt because you want to fit in. Everybody using short skirt. You want your legs to be shown off. You don't need to drop your waistline for your pants. Your pants don't need to be dropped below your buttocks because everybody's dropping their pants below their buttocks. No. Don't change your name. Don't change your destiny. Don't change who God wants you to be just to fit in with others. Stand out. Don't fit in. Stand out. And these three guys, they refuse to give up their name, and they want to live up to the name that God had given them from in Israel. God gave them a name that means something. It means God is with you. It means God will not leave you. It means God is your judge. These guys determine, I'm not giving up my name. I'm not giving up my destiny. My destiny. There's another thing. They try to have them to give up their diet. No. The king said, these guys, these young men, give them special food, my food. Have them to eat at my table, and have them to drink my wine. Have them to dine the same kind of dinners and luxury and gastronomy that I does eat. He said, give it to them also. The guy said, no, we're not eating the king's food. We're not contaminating our bodies with that. And that's what you do. Your diet is the spiritual things. You belong to Jesus Christ. You belong to God. And you have to start showing people that you are different. You don't have to drink everybody's wine. Because everybody's drinking wine, you don't have to drink no wine. Because everybody's smoking, you don't have to smoke. Because everybody cursing, you don't have to curse. Because everybody indulging, everybody's doing this, everybody eating this, everybody consuming this, you don't have to give up your diet. You have a special diet, and I'm not speaking about real food now. I'm speaking about your desires, your longing, your cravings. You don't have to crave what everybody else is craving. Don't give up your diet. And when people ask you, so why you don't curse like us? You don't have to explain, I don't curse because I go to church. No. I don't do these things because I am different. And I am not trying to fit in. I'm trying to stand out. And that's what you must do. Number one, don't give up your name. You belong to God. You belong to Jesus Christ. Number two, don't give up your diet. Your desires, your cravings are not the same as these people. You have people out there that they're craving excitement. They are craving luxury. They're craving fame. Not you. You are seeking to please God. You have a different diet, a different desire, a different propensity, a different inclination, a different tendency. Why? Because you are different. Who are you to be different? I belong to God. I am a servant of God, and God promised to be with me. There's a last thing. People want you to give up your destiny. People want you to give up your diet. And then they want you to give up your deity. They want you to give up God. And these three young men refuse to bow down to any other God. Well, I guess you know by now the end of the story. How does the story end? Because they refused to give up their God, they were cast into a fiery furnace. And people believe that, well, God promised to be with us even in the fire furnace. I want you to know this, that even though God promised to be with you, sometimes you have to be willing to suffer the consequence for the name of God. Sometimes you have to just suffer the consequence to live for Jesus Christ. And the consequences sometimes are not easy. Why? Because Christ is not easy. He said, however, if anybody will come to me, let him be willing to take up his cross and follow me. That's what Jesus said. If any man will come, you must be willing to take up the cross. Christ is with you. Don't give up your name. Don't give up your diet. Don't give up your destiny. Don't give up your God. God bless.